Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your mega preview pod for this week's CJ Cup. And joining me to break it all down, Mark Immelman is here. Mark, good to see you.
Rick, it's good to see you and Carl, and I'm looking forward to Thursday night, right? Yeah, we're going to, the wine at dinner is going to be the wine. Carl's going to pay me in 10 years' time for the JT bets, so we're going to have a good time.
Mark and I are going out and drinking wine, KP. Your thoughts?
Doesn't Mark owe me something for the Ryder Cup?
I do, a case of
Arnold Palmer. From the Ryder
Cup? Yeah, I do.
So you guys just drink that, and then we'll do the wine whenever. Mark's gonna have like grandkids by the time I'm paying him his wine. So,
yeah, you've done a good job of pushing that off for a while, I think.
JT might win this week. Who knows?
Bones is on the bag. He's out there. I just came from the course. Bones got an extra hop in his step. He's excited to be back.
I would have an extra hop in my step as well if I had that job.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We got to do our storylines, our best bets, our one and done. And I think a lot of players, Mark, are going to have a hop in their step because there is some more moolah, some more cash headed into these prize purses. News from Monday, the players increases the total purse to 20 million. That's not a typo, which in comparison to the U.S. Open, that was 12.5 million, PGA Championship, 12 million, Masters in the British Open, 11.5 million. And they are also, Mark, providing a little bit of an incentive here, a $50,000 bonus if you play 15 events. I mean, seems to me like business is booming.
Yeah, well, Pontevedra, things are going well. You know what? I'm not that surprised. I'll be honest. When I saw the Players' Championship purse increase, the first thing I thought was like, okie dokie, better be smart with my one and done pick for the Players' Week, because that's a $3.5 million first prize. I mean, that's insane. But you know what? It's the Players' Championship. The tour likes to sort of lead from the front a little bit when it comes to this kind of a thing, and they're flexing a little bit. I would expect the other organizations will follow on. I'm sure the USGA will try and jump on board pretty fast. Not sure about the Masters Club, but they certainly will do something. So it's a big flex by the tour. I just think the big deal was making sure, or at least giving a bonus for playing 15 events, because you used to get penalized if you didn't. But now the worlds have changed, so now you just get stuff if you play stuff. So I think that was a good move, really. But the increased purse for the players, that's eye-popping.
Yeah, the purse thing, it's like, it's fine. I mean, it's, I have no problem with it. I think it's great for, you know, a lot of the stars. I just don't know, like, who was asking the question of like who was asking this question that needed a $5 million answer, right? That, I think that's my question of why not just give the, like, just write a check to Rory and Spieth and JT. You're kind of trying to accomplish the same thing, right? I don't know the purpose of what they're trying to do. That, do they want to say, hey, we've got double the US Open purse or the PGA Championship purse? Do they want to try to convince their stars not to go elsewhere? I don't know what the, like what the purpose of this actually was.
If I might comment there real fast, Rick, I think the other bodies will follow along. I'm not so sure they'll jump up that high, but there'll be some following. But yes, the one thing that I think the tour are doing, and I hear what you're saying about trying to keep their stars stateside, but there's 100 and what's the field size there? It's a full field, right? So it's 144 maybe, correct?
Yeah, I actually thought it was 144. Yeah.
Don't quote me on this, but that's a trickle down sort of a number. So if you're making the Players' Championship, which the tour want to be, like their gold standard. They want to make sure that even the guy that finishes last, because I'm sure there'll be money throughout the field, not just for the cut makers, that they come out there okay. So, they're looking after their members. I don't know that for certain, but I can sort of see some of that going on too.
Maybe the question, KP, was how much does it cost to buy a major championship? And someone said, $20 million. We'll start there.
And that's the irony, right? Is that for John Rahm, it doesn't do anything. Like, he still wants to win the Masters more than the Players' Championship. So that's kind of what I'm getting at is, like, what was the question you're trying? Is it to, like, please Harry Higgs? Or is it – I don't really know. I think it's fine. I think it's great. It doesn't really change the way that – I think the Players' Championship is amazing. The fact that it's worth $5 million more – does not make it any more amazing to me. So I don't know. I would be curious as to like what the whole process there was of like kind of behind the scenes of why they did that.
To me, this is a systematic multi-pronged defense to players going to a PGL or something else, right? It starts with the PIP money. And then, you know, we get this strategic alliance with the European Tour. And, you know, we've got 48, 46 events every single season. Now we add money to all of these purses. Also, here's another bonus for playing 15 events. Mark, this is, and I think you were kind of getting this, this is to keep the product here. Keep the talent here.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the European Tour thing, because I hadn't been with you guys much since the Ryder Cup. And on the final day there, I caught up with a dear friend who's on one of the executives there. In fact, he's their lead executive on the European arm of the Ryder Cup. And he was speaking pretty candidly about what a big deal it was to be involved with the PGA Tour, because remember last year how that European Tour was struggling? They couldn't go anywhere. And they cobbled together that five-event series, I think it was, or six events there, that British swing, they called it, and they were essentially driving from tournament to tournament. So the tour came in there and sort of salvaged them, and they acknowledged that. But you're right, everyone's sort of coming together to make sure that they keep the strength where they feel like the strength belongs.
The Century Tournament of Champions purse gets a little bit bigger. KP, I imagine we are going to continue to see purses rise. That bonus, that $50,000 bonus for playing 15 events, that one, not that left me scratching my head, but are there a lot of golfers playing 13 or 14 events that this is going to make a difference for? I guess I don't know what the purpose of that is.
Well, that's what I've written down. I said, who's not playing 15 events? Brooks, like, he cares about $50,000, right? Like, right. And I think it feels like they're just trying to, like, get more money out there to their people. it's like, here's another 50, which, you know, and some, I'm glad some people are actually commenting on this. I think it's an interesting concept. Like, everybody's already playing the Players' Championship. Like, you don't need to throw more money at that event, because gone are the days when Lee Westwood is skipping the Players to go to a horse race in, you know, Scotland or wherever he went to back in the day. Why not throw more money at Colonial? I'm just throwing random tournaments out there. Colonial, Hilton Head, different places like that, that you could improve the field, right? The Players' Championship field cannot be improved. It's all 100 of the top 100 guys, or 99 or whatever. You only don't play if you have an injury. So if you're really trying to, like, improve the product, it seems like it would behoove you to increase some of the purse sizes at maybe some of these lesser events, rather than just kind of flex and say, well, we have double the purse size of the Open Championship.
Do you want to guess, Mark, sorry, before I cut you loose on that, you want to guess how many golfers in the top 150 of the FedEx Cup standings last year? 150, that's basically the entire tour. How many did not play 15 events?
I would think all of them probably played the allotment, because they're so used to it being a mandatory rule. Am I right?
There was one guy who did not. Now, it's kind of a weird reason, but we should guess on who it is.
Patrick Reed?
No.
Is it a, like, was this person in the top 25?
this person, okay, so this, whoa, this person was 107th, but I will tell you, this person won last year.
Garrick Higo.
Garrick Higo. Good job, Mark. Yeah.
Wow.
Because he wins, good. Takes the membership, only yeah. plays seven other times late in the summer. So he's the only guy. And it's not cheap. You know, even 149 guys at $50,000, Mark, that's $7.5 million the tour's doling out.
Yeah, well, as Carl was making his point, it was well-founded there. I was thinking a little bit more about this, and I was like, you know, in a funny sort of a way, you can package this as like an appearance fee, which the tour don't give. Now, in Europe, if you go play over there, you'll get appearance fee. So, yeah, it's you say to the folk, well, you got to play 15 events. So now come and play Hilton Head or come and play Colonial or whatever the case might be. Add that one thing, get to your 15. Not that it's a deal. They should have made it 16. And then you grow fields. But I don't know. I'm sure there was a lot of thought behind this thing. But it's kind of like a small appearance fee for making sure you do your bit.
Yeah. And certainly more to come. There will be more. Listen, there seems to be. Okay, KP, what are the revenue streams of the tour? Right? Obviously, advertising, broadcasting, the hospitality stuff. Like, what are other, obviously now with gaming becoming more important, they're getting sponsors with a lot of money coming in with these sports books. But like, what else? Is that it?
Well, yeah, I think somebody needs to write a piece on like the way that all the revenue functions and moves around is unbelievably convoluted. I think it was Bob Herrig of ESPN did a little bit on this during the pandemic, because he was talking about how the pandemic has affected local events, but also the tour, and all of that is tied in. Like each, I don't want to go too deep into it, but each event operates as its own kind of independent thing, but they're also tied to the tour. And then obviously the TV partners are prominently involved, and it's very messy for people like us to kind of understand and figure out. And the only thing that's clear, I would say, is that they have a lot of money that can be distributed, right? Because ever since the pandemic started, $40 million in PIP, another $5 million at the Players Championship, another $7 million or whatever at these top 100. I mean, we're like, money is just flowing. And I think some of that is this new TV contract, right? That got, you know, signed by everybody involved. And so I think that's like the majority of it, but I don't know. I think you're right. I think there's definitely more to come from that standpoint. And I'm curious, like Mark, to see what that means for the eventual, like, do we get that world tour? Does everything kind of merge into like where it seems like most, if not like all of the money at this level is kind of emanating from?
It's going to be interesting. I don't know. I guess the general admission ticket, like the $15 general admission ticket, that's like a drop in the bucket compared to all of this other stuff.
Yeah. Well, that is, I mean, general admission goes next to nothing, really. That is pittance compared to what they do. The TV deal is a big thing. Corporate monies are a huge deal. I mean, if you're a title sponsor, yeah, you're on the hook for millions, and you even haven't even activated yet and given away a shirt and bought advertising and stuff. That's just to be the title sponsor. So it's, I mean, what they got, how many events this year? 50? I mean,
yeah, think 40 something, yeah.
I'm not sure what a title sponsorship goes for, but it's a few million. Multiply that by 50, and then you got all the co-sponsors and all this other stuff. It adds up fast. It's the PGA Tour is a product. It is.
Oh boy, I love it. Hey, business is booming. All good, gentlemen. We got some interesting. I'm not even sure this is interesting news, but we have to talk about it here because this is a golf podcast. The driver length conversation continues. And here on this Tuesday, the USGA and the RNA announced that they will reduce the maximum shaft length from 48 inches to 46 inches. But KP, that is really just a suggestion. This is essentially a local rule. It's called a model local rule, which gives clubs or entities the right to enforce said rule, right? It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the when people think of local rules, I think they probably think Whistling Straits in 2010, right, with the PGA Championship, where you can have a, like, it's not a rule of golf, but it is a local rule that can be applied at, you know, wherever you're playing, where DJ grounded his club in a bunker that didn't look like a bunker. Everybody remembers that. To me, this is pretty uninteresting as an kind of an independent ruling. I think the bigger thing is, like, is this a little bit of a U-turn in terms of the distance thing? Like, is this the first of many rules or potential rules that get unveiled to kind of pull back where distance is headed in the sport? I think that is the more kind of interesting conversation. How many guys are using a 48 inch driver? Like,
nobody.
Phil, when he's being crazy, like that might be it. It's not really affecting anyone or anything in the game right now, but it is it's a little bit of a, hey, wait a second. We're going to look 15 years into the future when, like Phil said at the Masters last year, hey, everybody's going to be using a 48 inch driver, and kind of turning the ship a little of, like, hey, maybe this is not where we want to go. So for me, it's really a vehicle to do that more than anything else.
Hey, Rick, to me, well, first off, at the start of the year, I remember I was at Pebble Beach and I was doing some reconnaissance and catching up with players that were getting back at it after the off season. And I was like, changes, and a few of them, I remember Charlie Hoffman, Cameron Smith, were fiddling around with 46-inch drivers, which was a step up from where they were. Mm. And they were like, yeah, I'm picking up some distance, but the thing's just wild, and they'd gear back to their old thing. So, yeah, perhaps down the track, the longer driver will be the thing. But in my opinion, this is just pure sleight of hand. Hey, look what's happening over here while the golf ball goes like a rocket ship. These guys with a 45-and-a-half-inch driver are hitting this thing just gargantuan distances and stuff. I think at their speeds, 48 inches might just be reserved for long driving contests because they're hitting it so far anyway. These guys, 320 on the fly, they're turning a 480 par four into a driver and a 7-iron or an 8-iron. I mean, how much longer do you need to get? These guys are trying to dial it back into play. So it's like, look, we're trying to do something. The real problem is the golf ball. And if you ask any player or any former player, they'll tell you that. The driver thing is like, yeah, we, like Kyle says, we sort of doing something. But I will probably be proved wrong, but I can't see 48 inches becoming commonplace in the PGA Tour. I really don't.
Well, definitely not now. Do you think that there are other things to follow though, Mark? Like, do you think this is the first of 10 different or whatever the number is, rules that get put in place by the USGA and RNA that do kind of curtail distance into the future? Because I think, like, we're all on the same page. I think we're all on the same page of, like, hey, this stinks if we can't get a wing foot. I guess Greg was against this, but this stinks if we can't get a wing foot in 25 years from now. Like, that the wing foot's awesome. We should be able to go there. And I'm curious if you think, Mark, this is the first of many things to follow, or if it's just like this one-off thing, like you said, of like, hey, we did something. We tried. It was a good effort.
Well, look, you're not going to curtail athleticism. And I remember Kyle's second best friend, Gary Player, say to me, he goes, wait till someone like LeBron James learns or figures out how to play golf. When you get golfers becoming that size. So you can't stop athleticism. Now, you can put a dampener on technology. But here's the thing. The common denominator through this all is the golf ball. Yes, they could soften grooves on irons. They could define, you know, the space between grooves and stuff. So you penalize these guys for hitting in the rough, because with deep grooves and a whole bunch of them on the face, you can still spin the ball somewhat out of the rough. But the only truth, in my opinion, the only defense against these guys, it's not the distance debate, unless you get after the golf ball. It's firm golf courses with firm greens. not even heavy rough. That we saw that doesn't work against a Bryson and players of his ilk. So yeah, they'll be trying stuff, and you can fiddle on equipment a bunch. But the real thing, you want to change this right away, just like the Masters Club have intimated, you just define the golf ball.
Do you think that'll happen?
I cannot see it, because there's so much money being pumped into golf ball R&D, and money makes decisions. So no, I can't see it happening.
We're going to probably have to talk about this a lot, so I'm going to put a pin in it there. I will end on this. There have been three golfers at Summit Club today who have done their interviews. All three of them have been asked about this new rule: Colin Morikawa, Justin Thomas, Jason Kokrak. Which one of those three guys is most likely to use a 48 or 46 inch driver?
Probably Kokrak.
It has to be Kokrak, right? He's the biggest. Kokrak's the biggest guy. He says he uses a 45-inch driver. He always has. It's not that big of a deal. So it's like, I don't even know if this impacts anybody. Morikawa is like, this doesn't change anything.
I've got to say this, and I'm going to sound like the old guy. I normally do. Right. The real problem is shortage of water, because the bigger you make golf courses, with water being a worldwide commodity, and water is at short supply, you can't water these places unless you make them desert golf courses with very narrow fairways. So you can't expand the course. So these guys that are playing 500-yard par fives with, in decent conditions, drivers and five irons, they're like, whatever, man, we'll go ahead with our 45-inch driver. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a moot point. Power is here to stay. They just got to curtail the ball.
Speaking of desert golf courses, I've got one here for you, gentlemen. It's called the Summit Club. It is here in Las Vegas, Nevada, for the second straight week in KP. Look at this field. 7 of the top 10 players in the world, 20 of the top 25. I saw Rory out there this morning. I saw JT. I saw Xander. It was just a who's who of the golfing world converging on a course we've never seen before.
Yeah, it's really good. I think that I'm kind of why are Cantlay and Bryson not playing?
I don't know. Rahm is obviously playing in Europe, which makes that's no problem.
That's great. Yeah.
Bryson's taking off from the long drive to his match with Brooks. That's when he's gonna play next.
Is he really?
Yeah, that's
because this is the preeminent event of the fall, and it's not really that close. Even though Zozo next week has a bigger purse, it's not that. I mean, the field is average just because you have to because there's so much travel involved, and it's been a year of a ton of travel, and guys are just like, whatever, I'm gonna play CJ. And you know, I think for somebody like Rory, like, that's it, like, shut it down, you know. Or I think he's playing Tiger's event also, or whatever, or maybe in Europe, I don't know. But in terms of PGA Tour golf, maybe the only time we see Rory, Spieth, you know, Morikawa, who knows. But I think the two guys that really intrigue me, and we'll probably get into them maybe a little bit more later on, but Morikawa and JT are, I think, really intriguing. Morikawa was bad, really bad at the end of last season, because of the injury, I think. But then even after that, when he said he was kind of past everything, he finished 28th at the Tour Championship. Didn't play well there. But then he was maybe the best player at the Ryder Cup. So you got kind of two things juxtaposing each other there. And then JT was really good at the end of the season. And this is JT season, right? It's October. He wins a lot in September, October, November. He was okay at the Ryder Cup. He wasn't amazing, but I'm really intrigued by how both of them play this week. And then again, if they play any more this fall.
JT's won this event twice, obviously not here, but he's won this event twice. Mark, I told you, bring your walking shoes, man. This place is a haul. It's a hike. I was out there today. I think a lot of the, and I want to get your thoughts on this, there has been a lot of us in the fantasy / wagering community that look at a golf course that nobody has seen and say, oh, Colin Morikawa plays here every day. Maverick McNealy plays here every day. These are the guys that we should be targeting. I tend to look at it and say, these guys play 9 holes on Tuesday, 9 holes on Wednesday, and they figure it out pretty quickly.
They really do. The PGA Tour players are quick studies, and And to that field, I got a text from my producer earlier today because I'll be out there on the feature groups call for live, and I'm jacked. I'm looking forward to Vegas. I'm looking forward to seeing the course. Looking forward to our dinner. And he said to me, here's the groups. He goes, what do you want? And so on Thursday morning, because I'm on the course with him, I'm going with McIlroy, Thomas, and Kokrak, which is going to be all sorts of fun. And then the afternoon group, I went for Louis, Brooks, and Jordan. So I'm going to be seeing six completely different golfers for the day around a brand new golf course. And then, Friday morning, we've got DJ and company lining up. So it's a sensational field in the fall, which is great, you know, to get some eyeballs onto the game. I think to all these players being quick studies, the truth of it is, you know, there's 18 holes and 18 greens and 18 fairways. And their player, they might only play nine holes, but their caddies have seen more. And these guys know how to navigate a place. And from what I understand, you could fill me in more, but the reports I've gotten from people out there is that this place is wide, man. You can hit it. And yeah, there's desert around the place, but the targets are big. The greens are averaging like 6,500 square feet. Those are mammoth. So it's going to be just unload off the tee. I don't know how firm the greens are. You can talk to that. But and then putt well. You know, it's just like we were sort of expecting at Summerlin last week. So with good weather, comfortable temperatures, I saw, it's going to be a fiesta.
The greens and areas around them are easy as pie. I mean, there's just nothing going on. If you miss a green, it's a straightforward chip. There, you know what I thought was interesting, Mark, is I walked it backwards. So I got to the green first, then I got to the fairway, which when I was... Yeah, right. So when I got to the green and I got to the fairway, I'm like, wow, this is easy. It's very straightforward. But actually from the tee, it looks a lot more menacing. So once they figure that it's more visually challenging than I think it's actually challenging.
Well, that's a good call. It's a Tom Fazio design. And Fazio is very much like a dial where it's like a sensory overload when you're looking at the target. You know, you see cacti and desert and mountains and bunkers and big color changes. I can imagine with the overseeded rye against the backdrop of the mountains that the color changes have got to be crazy. So it's a lot to take on board. But from your point of view, that's what a lot of players do. They look back and then they're like, well, that bunker that looks like it owns the fairway is really just a stitch in time compared to what you've got to play with. So a lot of the Fazio courses are that way inclined.
So the groups that Mark passed on, KP. So let's see. So Mark went with Rory, JT, Kokrak, and then Spieth, Koepka, Louis. It's pretty strong. But here,
in the afternoon though, yeah, right.
Here are the ones he passed up on. These are pretty good too. Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele, Victor Hovland. I don't know if I could have passed on that one. And then Colin Morikawa, Sung Jae Im, Hideki Matsuyama. Would you have made those same decisions?
I need to say something really fast. Okay. Now, this is the old timer guy who apparently has to walk a long way Thursday, Friday. So if you look in that morning group, all right, I've got JT, who's a real talker, and Bones Mackay, who's a really real talker. So that means for one guy's 36 odd full shots and a few putts, I'm not going to have to say anything because they've got the natural mics in these guys. Jordan, smart. In the afternoon, I can come and sit in the cart with you. Reckon we can have sundowners and just watch golf ourselves. So those are groups there where you're going to get a whole bunch of natural sound, and Immelman can comment once in a while if he feels like it.
The DJ, I think the winner of the tournament is going to come out of the Hovland Xander DJ group.
It's a good group.
Yeah, it's really good. This feels like, again, kind of Xander season.
Can we talk about Xander here real quick? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, do you think it's weird? Okay, so Xander has all these accolades, right? Winning Ryder Cup team, the Olympics, but like his peers are still winning PGA Tour events at like a higher clip. Like, do you think that there's a part of Xander that is thinking, man, I want to pile up some of these PGA Tour events, especially one in he's getting the keys to the city in 54 minutes. Wouldn't this be a good place for him to go out and find victory?
He's literally getting the keys to the city.
Yeah. The mayor is going to give him the keys to the city.
Vegas. Holy smoke.
that could probably get you into some crazy spots. I would imagine.
Can he get you out of some crazy spots is the real question. why is he getting the keys to the city?
I can't imagine. I don't know what the criteria of keys to the city are. I can't imagine it's much more than like being known. I really don't know. I don't know.
Man, he's an Olympic gold medalist. It's a big deal.
Eh? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think Xander, his Ryder Cup, what he did at the Ryder Cup is a little emblematic of how his career has gone, where it looks, I think, a little bit, or it seems a little bit better than he actually has been, right? Because at the Ryder Cup, he was okay, but his record, I can't remember. I think he was like 3-1. It looked really good, even though he only played he was all right. He wasn't amazing. And in his career, he's been good, but like he doesn't win that much, right? Like he did win the, when, what's his last PGA Tour win? Tournament of Champions in 2019.
I think so.
Didn't he win? Did he win the Tour Championship last? HSBC.
He won the Shadow. Yeah, that was right before the Tournament of Champions. He won the Shadow leaderboard at the Tour Championship last year. But
it was Tournament of Champions was his last,
which is almost 3 years.
In 3 months it'll be 3 years.
Who else on that? Can you pull that back up, producer Jacob? Who else on there has gone 3 years without winning?
Do we have it, Jacob? Hold on, I have it somewhere. There we go.
I guess Ustazen's gone 11 years.
I was
going to
say Louis. That's, I mean.
Brooks won this year. Spieth won this year. DJ won in January, although it wasn't PGA Tour. Hovland won in, November? Rory won this year. JT won in March. Kokrak won this event. Morikawa won like 11 times this year. Sungjae won last week. And Hideki won the Masters. So it is interesting because I think Xander is viewed as like, okay, in it with all those guys, but in terms of wins, he's been a little bit short on them over the last couple of years, which that doesn't mean he's not playing great golf. He has been. He's been playing really, really good golf, but he hasn't converted or he hasn't cashed in any of that good golf into, PGA Tour wins over the last several years. So, although I do kind of credit him with the Tour Championship.
So what's his strokes gain numbers? Because how many wins did Rahm have this year?
Yeah, strokes gain, they're both pretty good.
Yeah, I think, Rahm was far better in terms, if we're just looking at 2021.
Playing with you, bro.
Oh, okay.
Well, it is a no-cut event, which Xander thrives in. It is a no-cut event in which Justin Thomas thrives in. In fact, like 9 or 11 of Justin Thomas's PGA Tour victories have been in no-cut events, which reminds me that each butcher box comes with 9 to 11 pounds of meat in it. And whenever you need a great tasting meal, butcher box,
segue.
Thank you, is in your corner. I mean, come on. Come on, that was a butcher box segue. How do I even pull this stuff off? This is pretty incredible. So what you get to do is you get to choose the meat that gets delivered to your door, and for a limited time, Butcher Box is giving new members 2 pounds of free ground beef in every order. For life, Mark, for life, you can get 2 pounds of ground beef in every box for the rest of your life, and you're going to live a while.
You should tell Xander about that. He and Stefan can do the Wiener Schnitzels from this butcher box setup, no? Don't you think?
I think they could. Yeah, I think that would be a perfect thing. The process is very simple. You just choose. Hey, there's 5 different boxes. 4 of them are curated by ButcherBox. 1, you can customize. You get exactly what you and your family want. Comes in 100% recyclable box, and it's always frozen at peak freshness. And of course, this is the question I always get. Yes, shipping is free. I enjoy it. I like customizing my box, so you're never going to hear any complaints from me. So this is your chance to never have to shop for ground beef again. That's right. ButcherBox is giving new members free ground beef for life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/thefirstcut and get 2 pounds of ground beef free in every order for the life of your membership. Log on to butcherbox.com/thefirstcut to claim this deal. I can't, I'm not as good transitioning back to golf. So I just kind of like do this moment. And then I say, best bets. We've got to get to our best bets. Okay, gentlemen, we got to figure this out. We have not been good on best bets. We've been terrible. In fact, Kyle, we get like half credit for Kyle, who wasn't on last week, but he gave us the Sungjae win. So KP, let's just start. Let's start with you, man, because you're our glimmer of hope at the moment.
That's probably not a good thing. I'm going with one of the shortest numbers that you could go with when looking at this kind of stuff. But JT top 10 plus 125. I think that JT's got a little Tiger in it, in that like I think that he's probably been grinding for this event in a way that maybe some other guys haven't been in the middle of the fall. And he hit the ball really, really, really well at the end of the season. The putter was still a little up and down, but I trust him in a no cut small field event to just ride. I mean, even if he has a bad putting week, I still think the ball striking is there to where he rises up into that top 10 by the end of the week.
I kind of went a similar route, and I picked Colin Morikawa to finish inside the top 10 plus 163. I just thought, even without the whole membership thing, he's one of the best on the planet. And the couple of things that I saw out there, being more committed to some shots, I think it'll be worth like a 10% boost. I went with Colin Morikawa to finish inside the top 10. Mark, where are you going this week?
Before I get to my bet, I want to share a few that popped off the page at me. Max Homa in the top 20 plus 175 was very enticing. Russ Henley, a top 20 at plus 200. He's playing beautifully.
He led the field last week, Mark, in strokes gained approach.
He lives down the road from me, and we were on the driving range the other day just talking golf swing and stuff, and he had been very ill with a stomach virus, and he came back, and he'd lost some weight, and he just felt fresh and played beautifully last week. Charlie Hoffman went to school just down the way there. Top 20 for him at plus 260. I like those, and he's my pick. So I've got my eye on Max and Russ, but I think Hoffman at plus 260 to get inside the top 20, the way he's been playing, I think that's not a cinch, nothing is, but I'm really confident with that one.
I'm so proud of you, Mark. I feel like we've come so far. Mark gave us a couple that popped off the page at him. So a couple of like, hey, here's some honorable mentions. And then here's the guy I'm going with. This has like been a great evolution. Instead of us showing you where to find the bets on the website, now you're coming with things that, quote, jumped off the page at you.
Well, yes, the thing, okay. Now that I've shed one of my jobs, I'm no longer the golf coach at Columbus State University. I have afternoons available. So unless I'm picking up kids from school or whatever, or I've got some lessons to give, I can sit and scroll up and down internet websites like Data Golf Volume 6. And so, yeah, I got to spend a bit of time at the Caesars Sportsbook this afternoon.
Well done. Okay. Kyle, it sounds like you wanted to get in there.
Well, I was going to say, for people hollering at me in the comments about picking the favorite as my top 10, just check the numbers. Check the record from last year.
He did win. Yeah. So you can
all
you
the
can,
receipts.
Yeah. You can take that heat and offset it with your cash.
Yeah.
Because you won. You won the contest.
So, yeah. I shouldn't start crowing about this right now. But anyway, I wanted to get that out there.
Yeah. reaping what you sow. The reaping's great. The sowing is tough. Coach.
I think it's the other way around.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
The sowing is great. The reaping is tough.
The reaping is tough, yes. Coach has phoned in his pick. It's been a tough week for Coach. Producer Jacob's been all over him, close to firing him. He's still got three zeros in the one and done category. It's been a tough week for Coach, but here's what he's doing. He is going with Sungjae Im, the man who just won last week at TPC Summerlin, Mark, over Hideki Matsuyama. Your thoughts, please.
These guys, the PGA Tour is a momentum place. And you and I have had this conversation why, for some reason, we never picked the guy that won the week before. We're like, somehow he's going to fall off the wagon. No, I think Sungjae, we've had a few days off, I'm certain. And he plays so much anyway. The guy's the Iron Man of the tour. So keeping it going, the way he putted in that final round, holy smoke, he is enticing. So I think that's a good bet.
Is there something, KP? So, okay, we always do the guy who won last week thing, but they didn't have to travel, right? So after you have your media obligations, you do your extra interviews, you sign your posters, you normally have to hop a jet, go to your new city, do your new media obligations, all that stuff. He was at Korean barbecue last night, live streaming on Instagram. Life is good for Sung J-M. He's just in the same town, the same hotel room, ready to rock and roll this week.
Were you filming that?
Last night? No. I wish I was there. That would be great.
I figured you would be. Korean barbecue is great, by the way.
It's the best.
Very good. Yeah, it's really good. I don't know if it affects him a ton. Like, he seems to just be able to, like, it. You know, it was interesting. He talked in his post-round Shriners interview about needing to be, I can't remember the exact wording. I think it was like needing to be more fit or more in shape or something like that to take on that Ironman schedule. And he just, is that a factor? Sure. Is it a big factor? I don't really think so with somebody like him who is just so used to traveling already. So I don't really put a ton of stock into something like that.
I would like to comment there, just technique, and I'm going to nerd out a little bit on you here. His technique puts very little stress on his body, where someone like a Brooks Fogerman 6, the way he holds that club through contact and the speed he moves at, there's a lot of stress that puts on joints and such. So the way he's going, he's just got to be cardiovascularly fit to me. And as long as he remains limber like he is, look at Phil Mickelson, who the career was long and he battled psoriatic arthritis was his only real issue because they were sort of lithe and limber that way. So if he stays cardio fit, he can eat all the Korean barbecue he likes, because you're burning that stuff off on the golf course with a walk.
You're making me hungry. We got to move on to our picks here. Top 10 sleepers and pick to win. Let's start with top 10 because I can make this pretty simple. Kyle took his best bet as the top 10, obviously Justin Thomas. I took my best bet as a top 10, obviously Colin Morikawa. So Mark, your top 10 for this week's CJ Cup, please.
I'm going with Mark Leishman, who's got his parents in town. So he's feeling good about that. Hadn't seen them in a long while. He's won on a Fazio golf course before at the BMW at Conway Farms. He's played 8 rounds this season and only shot in out of the 60s one time. And that was 71. He's 34 under par in the rounds played. And man, he's coming off another good week last week. So I'm going with Leishman for a top 10.
Leishman for a top 10. The coach is going with Sam Burns, one of the hottest players on the planet at the moment. For his top 10, that is plus 250. Sleeper. Oh. Kyle and Mark. Oh, this is fun. This doesn't happen often. KP, same sleeper. You and Mark have intersected on sleepers for the CJ Cup.
Yep. Like you said, he was first in approach shots last week, finished third at this event last year when I had him as my one and done. I know it's a different course, but he's just, you know, I wish he was, whenever I looked him up, I was thinking he'd be more like 70 or 80 to one. I don't love 60 is a little short for him, for me, but I really like how he hit it last week. I think Henley at 60 is a fun play.
And Mark, that is certainly something that you've already informed us. He caught your eye. He popped off the screen and you're going with him as your sleeper.
I am. And the way he putts on top of the ball striking is he's reliable from tee to green. He's not going to blow your hair back, but he gets the comfortable shape, hits the ball in the right places, putts great. I'm just interested because I see you using my sleeper from last week for this week in Vegas, Rick.
That would be Aaron Wise. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 55 to one. So there's a lot going. Aaron, if I could invest in Aaron Wise for the next 10 events, that's what I want. Is he going to win this week? No, probably not. It's an absolutely stacked field, all that stuff. But he was top 25 last year in strokes gained tee to green. To be in the top 25 of a stat that good, that important, is critical. He was a horrible putter. He's been much better recently. He went to the broomstick. And Mark, I'm actually taking half stats, half eye test here because I spent a lot of hours at TPC Summerlin last week. And every moment that Aaron Wise was not playing a tournament round, he was on the putting green and he was grinding, and it's showing up in the stats.
And that putter was the one that he used in college when he was unbeatable. Now, granted, they're less difficult, softer golf courses, but he filled it up for his years there in Oregon. So he's gone back to something comfortable. He just had to get over himself some, because he didn't want to come out on tour with a broom handle kind of putter. And now he's like, oh, I've realized I better make putts if I want to contend. And he's being smart about it.
Are we concerned at all about on this course with like Henley and Morikawa not being super, super long off the tee? Because we talked about how, like, obviously wide, if it's really wide open, bombers. If it's really, really narrow, bombers. And this one is obviously really wide open. So I think they are hurt a little bit by that. Do you guys have that concern at all?
Rick, can I take this?
Please.
Kyle, I don't think playing at the altitude that they are is going to make that much of a difference, because if you hit the thing in the air, the ball's going to go. And these guys can launch it, and I'm sure they've been dialing on drivers to lift the launch angle some, and you get a little extra out there. And if it's playing firmish, which I expect it kind of is, Rick, you know, they're going to get some on the ground too. So no, I'm not that concerned.
This is, we're at 2,300 feet of altitude, which actually Jason Kokrak just got asked about it in his presser. So when it's hot here, they play 10%. They play 10% difference. He said it's cooler here this week. He's playing 5, which turns a par 72, 7,400 into 7,000 yards. Yeah. So,
wouldn't Rory and Sergio, and Sergio is a bad example, wouldn't Rory and DJ and those guys still have, I mean, it's not like they're also playing in that.
Yeah,
right?
Distance is always an advantage, but there are places where distance is a prerequisite for success, and I don't think that's here. I think there's different ways.
But how does this doesn't mitigate it, right? Like it just means Rory's closer to the green than he would be otherwise.
Again, I can't comment for sure. This is where Rick's better equipped, but I'll tee you up, Rick. You know, there might be certain holes that'll just force Rory to go with 3 metal off the tee, where Henley's going to drive it to the same sort of place. And then Rory might hit one less club, but that's not going to separate you that much. It's when you're seeing the driver that goes 30 farther and then they're hitting a wedge to you hitting 6 iron. That's when you start to see the separation occur.
So there are a bunch of holes that you are maybe forced layups if you're that long.
Rick?
I don't know about it. It'll depend on kind of wind direction and stuff, but this is no different than any other week where distance is always better, right? Like Rory's distance is always an advantage over Russell Henley off the tee. But, there are some courses where you have to have distance. I don't believe this to be one of them.
Okay.
That's the way I see it. We'll see. Coach is sleeper. So just to recap, Russell Henley for Mark and Kyle. I have Aaron Wise. Joaquin Niemann is for the coach. Winners. Let's find some winners. Oh boy, I have the same winner as the coach, which historically has not been has not been great for us. I'm going with Xander. I'm just no cut event. Cream rises to the top. He's going to get that win before we hit the 3-year mark here on the PGA Tour. I'm going with Xander. Mark.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you can say.
I just wanted to make sure. This is Mark is going for. I love this. Back to back, Sungjae Im 28-1 to do 2 weeks in a row, both legs of Vegas swing.
And you thought Elvis was the king of Las Vegas? No, it's going to be Sungjae Im. Just the way he's playing, the way he's rolling it, he's confident as all heck. Heck, he's eating Korean barbecue to live stream it. The guy's playing with us. Why not?
Yeah.
Do we have a guest pick? Come on.
Do you have a pick for this week? Just give me a pick. It's my
this
wife.
Is the best part. Pick to win. It's the best moment.
Just give me anybody. Justin Rose. Justin Rose playing?
Yes, he is.
He is.
Is he? Oh, Justin Rose. Okay. Yeah. She always picks Justin Rose. I don't know why.
I was going to say, of all the players that she could have picked, I was not expecting Justin Rose.
Yeah, she has not like she's still living in 2013 Marion Justin Rose and not in 2021 CJ Cup Justin Rose. So
he's 50-1. Good value. So okay, we've got an extra pick there.
My wife actually just came in. Do you know who she said she wants this week?
Oh no, hold on. I know this. She has a huge crush on somebody. I think it's Xander.
Yeah, it is, but she said
give me Paul Cuse there.
Did she really say that?
Not this week, but she does say it frequently.
give me Paul Cuse.
And she absolutely loved the fact that that Xander was the Ryder Cup post-game MVP with the cigar smoking, walking around.
I'm sure she did.
She said, I can only smoke a cigar if I win the Ryder Cup. So that's what I'm working towards now.
Good luck. We have all the drops in the field this week. We've got Kevin Na. Do we have that one handy?
Kevin Na.
How about Ricky Fowler?
Ricky Fowler.
Do we have any more in there? Those are the only ones we have, right?
Woo, shaking that ass, shaking that ass, shaking that ass.
That's the best. That's the best one.
Mudball.
Mudball. I love that so much. There's a comment in the chat which I think is brilliant. Seb Max. So Mark, this is your pick to win. What if Sung Jae got 50,000 for every 15 events that he played? Would he go for 45?
Yes, for sure.
Of course he would. He's got what nice with that new house in Atlanta, pay it off. I don't know. Maybe he might bring the family over and, you know, sort them out.
That's so good. KP, I'm actually a little bit jealous of your pick to win because this was my pick to win last week, and I feel like it's tough to go back to him. But Victor Hovland, my God, he's a freak.
Did you see his strokes gained ball striking last week?
Yeah, did you see his strokes gained around the green last week?
I did. And I'm grateful. I didn't know this, but I'm grateful that you said off the top, these greens are easy. They're big and they're easy. That's what I want to hear for somebody like Hovland, who lost, was it 2.5 strokes around the greens every round last week?
Yeah, nearly 9 in total, which
how does that even happen? I didn't go back and look at, yeah.
4 holes. So he lost at least a stroke around the greens on 4 separate holes. I was watching him do it. 8 on Thursday, he was in the bunker, left it in the bunker, and then didn't hit a good one out. He got into an awkward spot over 14, the par 3 on the back. Nobody gets up and down from there. And then he hit like 2 really bad ones. But it was he cannot get into that trouble here. He can't. He's going to win.
Yeah. I think he is too. He's hitting a great, he had a good Ryder Cup, even though his record wasn't that good. He played really well. I mean, just the numbers alone, if you can get over how bad he was around those greens last week, it's extraordinarily easy to envision him winning this week. So 25-1, that seemed, you know, if he is good at all around the greens last week, he top 10s, and I think he's more like 22 or 20-1. So I think there's value there with Victor Hovland.
Yeah, even if he loses 3 strokes around the green last week.
I mean, my gosh, that's so bad.
Oh, okay. The moment we've all... Okay, let me recap that. Xander for Coach and myself, although I'm jealous of Kyle's pick of Victor Hovland. I'm actually kind of jealous of Mark's Sung Jae-in pick to win. I'd be thrilled for all of these guys to get it done here in Las Vegas. So let's move to the highly anticipated one and done. And this is week number 4 for us. And luckily for the 3 at the bottom, you're going to get some money this week because there is no cut. As long as your guy hits a shot, we will get you on the board. So we're going to start with the coach who, Mark.
How about you trolling the coach on Twitter this afternoon? I know that was good stuff then.
I know. It's, you know, it's been a rough week for Coach. He came in, he changed the whole setup for the one and done, and he is 0-3. But this week I'm optimistic for him. He's going with Xander Schauffele, Mark. So he is just saying, you know what?
Panic.
Panic time. That's exactly right.
You know what? Getting back to my observation about the players, I've realized in this thing that you got to look at purses. I just used to look at events, you know, because in the former league I played in, it was about FedEx Cup points. it, the purses are a big deal. Now, I haven't looked at the purses this week because I had no real plan because it was a new golf course. But, man, there's some spots next year that Xander will be dandy. So I'm going to hang on to him. I feel like coach is trying to force the hand a bit.
You know who else might be panic buying with $0? Greg Ducharme in week number four here, Kyle, is rolling out Rory McIlroy. I've heard of him. He's good.
Based on what?
I wish no he was cut. Here.
No cut.
Yeah. I mean, the Tour Championship didn't have a cut. BMW didn't have a cut. He wasn't good at the Ryder Cup. Like I don't know. It'd be awesome if Rory won. That'd be a fun Sunday story to write, but I don't know what that is. That seems, I don't know. I don't understand the reasoning behind it. Was he picking Rory Sabatini?
Oh yeah, maybe it was. So Jacob says the text from Greg did just say Rory. Yeah, it might be the other one. We should confirm this.
It would be a better pick, I think.
I found this week, so this is actually kind of tough because it's only week four, but the purse is $9.7 million. It is one of the larger, especially like, you know, non-major, and it's a no cut. So like, you would normally want to spend a great player at an event like this, but to do it in event four of 40, whatever, I didn't really know what to do. So I don't know if I blame Greg, but I found this week to be tough.
Yeah. Are we ready for mine or no?
Yeah, let's go. You also have $0. So let's get you on the board.
I went with Hovland because I think you're right. Like, you don't want to take, like Patton Kizzire, like I did. I don't even know if he's in the field, but like I did last week, because there's only so many of these, but it also feels weird to burn like a DJ or a JT. So I felt like Hovland was kind of a good middle ground where he's a top 20 guy, but you might not play Victor Hovland at the Masters in April where you might with JT or DJ. So that's kind of where I landed with that. Plus I think he's going to win.
I hope so. Sia Najad, who has $108,000, is going with Tony Finau, Mark. That's normally, Tony's a tough guy to figure out where to put him when you start looking at the schedule, because he's certainly in the upper, whatever, top 15, but you never feel comfortable using Tony, do you?
I don't know. Unlike Greg Ducharme, I'm always pretty high on confidence for Tony Finau. Now, does he sometimes spill leads? Yeah, but everybody does. I don't think there's a bad course to pick Tony Finau, and I really don't. And this course where there's, you know, folks, I'm sure he's played there a little bit. You know, he lives close by in Utah. So, yeah, I think Finau's a good pick. In fact, I considered him for a while, but there's other spots that I could use Finau for sure.
I have $162,000. And I'm going with Sung J.M. just because I thought, hey, best player in the world. Last
love week. It.
I don't know where else to play him. It's not like I maybe play him anywhere.
Maybe period. He might be the best player in the world. Just full stop.
Full stop. And I figured save some of these, you know, save my horses, but give me a guy who I think can play really well this week. So I'm going with Sung J.M.
So I ranked all the guys 25 or younger on Monday that I think have the best chance of getting to number one in the world. Who do you think I ranked number one on that list? Age 25 or younger?
Sung J.M.
No.
I got to start going through these guys.
Morikawa.
He was one. Who was two?
It's not Sung J.M.?
No, Sung J.M. was like fifth or fourth.
Are you gonna so hold on, you have to think about what Kyle would do here. So he picked Matthew Wolf.
He probably did.
Wolf was ahead of Sungjae.
Oh Lord. Okay.
So Sungjae was like,
he's got more
Neiman.
Sungjae is probably a better player. I think Wolf's ceiling is higher than Sungjae.
There's got to be somebody
Hovland was number two.
Oh, Hovland. Jeez. Yeah. Okay. I love that. So what was it? So it was Morikawa, Hovland.
Hold on. I got to find it now. I can't leave you with
I have it right here. So, oh boy. Gosh, you guys in your SEO. Okay, here we go. Morikawa, Hovland, Burns, Sam Burns.
No, that's not the order. I did them by world golf ranking. So you have to look at probability at the bottom. So I think it went Morikawa, Hovland. I think Wolf was third.
Yes.
And then Sungjae.
Zalatoris and Sungjae were both.
Zalatoris and Sungjae. Okay, yeah.
Zalatoris and Sungjae.
The same. Like the same probability of reaching number one.
Ouch. Neiman was also 2%. Scotty Scheffler was 1%. Higo less than 1%. Sam Burns 1%, I think, is all of them.
Yeah. I had Morikawa at 80% and Hovland at like 30, I think. 30 or 40. Reaching number one's hard. There's only been, 23 guys that have done it? 24, maybe, that have done it? Here we go. Thanks, producer Jacob.
What prompted you to write this piece?
Your brother did when he said that Sungjae is going to be number one in the world someday.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that as soon as that came out of his mouth, Twitter was like, let's talk about this.
And we talked about it. Sungjae's great. It's so hard to get to number. And some of it's luck, right? Like Phil never got to number one. And you just have to get the timing. I mean, Luke Donald got there and Phil didn't. Martin Keimer's won a lot. But I think Sungjae's a great player. I don't know if he can ever get to number one. I think his ceiling is a little bit lower than some of those other guys.
Producer Jacob, come on in. Thanks for finding that article. You are at, so whew, look at this. You are so far 3 weeks in, MVP, most improved, whatever. You can't be MVP, but you're most improved because you were just bottom of the barrel and now you are in the thick of it. $371,000. Your one and done pick for the CJ Cup is?
We're going to go with Justin Thomas. It's Jay Tober. Wow. You know, so I think we're going to pull it out. Yeah, Jocktober in Atlanta. It's Jay Tober here. So what we got? You mentioned it. He's got bones on the bag now. A little extra pep in the step for everyone involved. I think he's going to do it. He loves these limited field events. I mean, we gotta bring out a big gun because this is a big boy field.
With a $1.3 million.
Put up that leaderboard, Jacob. Let me see the leaderboard, please.
Oh my God.
I'm a leaderboard watcher.
Don't do that. This is like somebody tweeting out the first they're leading a PGA Tour event and tweeting out the leaderboard after round one.
Not even. If we were 25%
after nine holes.
After four holes.
coming from you lot, you panic picking with JT and company. Yes, yeah, you go chirp all you like. Put up the leaderboard. Let me see it.
So, Mark, $1.6 million in total. You are obviously very happy about it. How are you going to try to extend your lead this week?
I want to say real fast. I find it interesting that folks are giving Bones a whole bunch of credits to when he's on the JT bag now, because I've got to give my boy Jimmy Johnson some love. That guy is one of the great caddies of all time. He truly is. And he's seen it all from Nick Price to Steve Stricker to Justin Thomas. Now, Bones is a tremendous caddy. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think that that's going to, it's not a separator for Justin Thomas, just for the record. And that's my opinion. And I'll say, because Jimmy Johnson is freaking good. That guy is unreal. He handled JT so well.
He's just not as well known, right? Like he's just not as famous. So he doesn't. Yeah, I'm with you, Mark.
Here's a quick story. I caddied for Jimmy Johnson when he was a PGA, well, not a PGA Tour professional, when he was a touring professional. There's tying the bow for you. How about that story?
Yeah, that's like Kevin Bate. What is it? What's that thing called? Six degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. Everyone is connected to him. This is your Kevin Bacon thing.
Yeah.
How old were you? How old was he?
Well, he was youngish. He played in South Africa. Him and his wife, Jennifer, were over there. And I was probably 19, 20-ish. You know, wow. I was a good golfer, but not good enough to play. So I figured I'd caddy for a while to try and make some money.
What's he like, 10 years older than you?
That was a lot, a while ago.
Probably. He's probably late 50s, I would say.
Okay.
Anyhow, back to the leaderboard. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going with Mark Leishman this week for the reasons I gave earlier. Just playing beautifully, putting great, parents are in town, new golf course. You can't really handicap the place. I know a bunch of Vegas guys play there often, but, you know, you got 70 guys, open field, and the only place I could have seen using Leishman down the way was perhaps in a Byron Nelson or one of those sorts of golf courses. So sign me up for the Aussie who's playing well.
I love that we all pick somebody different.
Yeah, that doesn't happen often. Six of us have made different picks. Here they are. Coach went with Xander. Greg went with Rory. One of the Rorys. Kyle went with Victor Hovland. Sia went with Tony Finau. I went with Sungjae Im. Jacob went with Justin Thomas. And Mark went with Mark Leishman. It is rare that we do that.
Yeah.
I did consider, Kyle, you'll appreciate this. I did consider Tyrrell Hatton a lot. I really did. Really? I was.
Why?
Well, because he played well just a couple of weeks ago, finished, I think, runner-up or third at the BMW. Played pretty solid the Ryder Cup, and he finished second or third year, I think it was last year. Again, a different golf course, but apparently he must be comfortable in Vegas. So I thought about Hatton for a while.
There you go. Anything else before we get out of here, gentlemen? CJ Cup? They have a great... okay, have you guys had this BB Go? This Korean... I don't know what it is.
Oh, it's on their shirts, right?
It's on their sleeve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They got a stand right there. I got like the crispy chicken or whatever. I don't know. It's like a barbecue stand. I don't know if it's like, it's more like maybe Korean barbecue. They have like dumplings. Oh, no. They have dumplings. They have, I don't know, good stuff like that. It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable that you're going to shill a rival meat producer on the same episode we had ButcherBox. Unbelievable.
I'm trying to get us that BB Go money. They got big money.
You just have Sungjae send you all his old scripting and you can wear it on the.
I would die. What do you think those guys do? What do you guys think they do? Like, does he have a closet full of just like different color? Like, they got to get rid of that stuff at some point.
Yeah, family members, friends. I mean, but I'm not like rolling around Richardson wearing like a NASCAR suit of sponsors. I mean, I kind of am, right? But
yeah, I was gonna say, like, all right, boys, Mark, when do you get out here?
I fly early tomorrow morning. I land Vegas around 9:30. I'll go and pick up my credentials from the hotel and straight to the course. So I'm sure I'll bump into you there.
Love it. All right. We'll be out there. We got this whole thing covered and we'll be back on Sunday to break it all down. For now, let me thank producer Jacob, does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, that's Mark Immelman. You can find him on Twitter at @Mark_Immelman. Kyle Porter, you can find at Kyle Porter CBS, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut and we'll catch you next time.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.